Good evening. Today is Tuesday, October 21st, 2025. The time is 5:30 p.m., the time set for our regular city council meeting. Welcome, and we'll call this meeting to order. Can I have a roll call, please?
All council members are present.
Thank you. Our invocation tonight will be by Pastor George Lyman of Desert Shores Community Baptist Church. If you would like to join us, please stand.
Thank you, Mayor, council members. Shall we pray together? Dear God, we come before you thankful that we can be a community that looks to do the things you've called us to do in a way that shows unity, working together, but at the same time, Lord, sharing our struggles, our difficulties. I thank you that we have a council that is willing to listen as much as they speak. And I just pray that as we go forward as a city, that you will show us the things we can do to make it the best it can be for our citizens, that we can support all those that serve in our community, police, law enforcement, all those that are giving of their lives to make a difference. So, Lord, as we conduct the business of this city, just give us wisdom and understanding, and we ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have some presentations and proclamations. If I could ask Lori Duggins and anyone that's with her to meet me up front, please. Tomorrow is Walk Away from Drugs, so we have a proclamation here, and it reads, whereas Bullhead City is sponsoring a drug prevention program on Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025, called the Walk Away from Drugs and 5K Run, and whereas there is hope in winning the war on drugs, and the hope lies in the hard work and determination of our community to create a drug-free environment, and whereas this free event is hosted by the Bullhead City Police and Fire Departments, and we sincerely appreciate McKee Foods and Swire Coca-Cola of Kingman for their partnership in helping us create a brighter future for our community by supporting this visual stance against drugs, and whereas McKee Foods will be providing free Little Debbie snacks, and Swire Coca-Cola will be giving away soft drinks and water to participants of the walk and run in support of this effort. And whereas a red ribbon was chosen as a symbol commemorating the work of Enrique Kiki Camarena, a Drug Enforcement Administration agent who was murdered in the line of duty, and has come to represent the belief that one person can make a difference. And whereas Red Ribbon Campaign was established by Congress in 1988 to promote this belief and encourage a drug-free lifestyle and involvement in drug prevention efforts. And whereas the Walk Away from Drugs is held in conjunction with the Red Ribbon Week, calling on all citizens to show their support for a drug-free state by wearing red and participating in our Walk Away from Drugs coloring contest and 5K run activities on Wednesday, October 22nd, beginning at 4 p.m. at Ken Fovard Park. Now, therefore, be it resolved that I, Rodney Head, Mayor of the City of Bullhead City, do hereby proclaim Wednesday, October 22nd, 2025, as the Walk Away from Drugs, and encourage all citizens, businesses, public and private agencies, and religious and educational institutions to wear and display red ribbons and participate in our drug-free activity to show their commitment to a drug-free lifestyle. In witness hereof, I set my hand this 21st day of October, 2025. And these folks are here from the police department. I'm sure Lori's going to tell us a lot of really wonderful stuff.
Thank you so much, Mayor. It's always an honor to be here and let you know about the amazing things that this community supports for your police department. We really are excited about this year, having McKee Foods with the Little Debbie's products out there and having Coca-Cola on hand, handing out their products. And then in addition, DJ Loki will be there, and she always makes every event a party, and she is donating her time to come out there and support this Walk Away from Drugs. We have many, many community partners on hand to teach people how to talk to your kids about drugs. You know, everybody says talk to your kids about drugs, but how do you talk to a preschooler? Because a preschooler, you should already talked about alcohol, tobacco, inhalants, and e-cigarettes. So if you guys come on out, even if you don't want to walk the walk or you want to cut short, you can cut right across to the Boys and Girls Club if you want to, and just go out there and help us do this visual stance that we want to be a drug-free community. Thank you, Mayor.
I know she usually handles it all.
Every time I start talking, they kick me out.
Well, thank you guys very much, and I hope that you
Toby's
all will join them.
Sit down right now.
Well, I wasn't going to be that rude, but Toby can send you to the back of the room. Thank you both.
Thank
we
you.
Appreciate you.
We appreciate you.
So we have one more presentation this evening, and Supervisor Lettman was going to be here, but he got called out of town. As many of you know, next year will be the 75th anniversary of the Davis Dam project, and it's providing not only controls for the natural resource of the Colorado River, but energy to the southwestern states. In his stead, he has sent the clerk of the board to come help us reveal the logo for the 75th anniversary of Davis Dam. Laura?
Hi, thank you so much for having me. I am representing Supervisor Lettman, so I hope I do as good a job as you know that he would. One of the things I have learned this in going over the Davis Dam, I actually got to go on a tour with the media, and one of the things I did that they talked about is that the Davis Dam is so remarkable because it was built without having any computers, or it was all hand-drawn, and all the calculations were done. And I am so grateful to those people, our forefathers that have come through and done some of that pioneering work for us, because if you had relied on me, you guys should have just go and get a family of otters and ask them to build the dam, because that's about as all I can do. Although the otters are very cute, but it is amazing the technology that they use, you know, at the Hoover Dam and then at the Davis Dam, that this can all be done, and you can see the paperwork on these calculations. So kudos to those people who are before us. You look at the pictures as you go through the dam on the tour. Obviously, they had no OSHA or workers' comp. And so, you know, those men put their lives on the line for us now, and I truly appreciate that. So it's not only an honor to be here as we celebrate 75 years of Davis Dam, a landmark that not only powers homes and businesses across the Southwest, but also connects generations of people who call this region home. This milestone is more than a date on the calendar. It's a reflection of our shared history, resilience, and community spirit. Davis Dam has stood for 75 years as a symbol of ingenuity and cooperation, harnessing the strength of the Colorado River to create opportunity and progress for Mojave County and beyond. Today, I do have that special privilege of unveiling the official 75th anniversary logo for Davis Dam. The beautiful design really does capture both the legacy and the promise of Davis Dam and the flow of the river, the power of the innovation, and the unity of the communities. At this time, I do want to recognize the artist, Sheila Barger. If you'll all join me in a round of applause here, you're going to see. Oh, see? She was told me she was going to be a back row Betty.
I'll tell her to get it.
I appreciate that. Yeah, she said.
She can have her hand in this right along.
Right? So Sheila is a celebrated advertising and design professional whose creative career spans from New Orleans to California and now here in Bullhead City. She has worked with major national brands and designed public projects that blend art and history, including the Ladies in Red Riverfront Streetcar Line and the Mud Island Museum in Memphis. Since moving to Bullhead City in 2014 with her husband, artist Peter, who's also here, has become an integral part of the community, contributing to the River Valley Artists Guild and sharing her award-winning pottery, sculptures, and design expertise throughout our region, something, again, that I do not possess. So congratulations on all that talent that you have. So thank you, Sheila, for your incredible talent and for helping us celebrate this important moment in Mojave County's history. And I also want to extend a sincere thank you to our partners who made this milestone possible with the Bureau of Reclamation, the River Valley Artists Guild, and the dedicated staff and residents who continue to support Davis Dam's legacy and the community it serves. So here's to 75 years of power, partnership, and pride, and to the bright future that lies ahead for Davis Dam and all those who call this region home. Would you like to go ahead and... So thank you so much.
No? Okay.
All right.
Well,
thank you.
Again, I know Supervisor Lettman wanted to be here, but he got called away for a meeting. And thank you, Sheila, and thank the clerk of the board for coming here and unveiling this significant milestone in our community in this Colorado River Valley. So thank you. We will now have call to the public. Call to the public is available for citizens wishing to address the council on issues within the jurisdiction of the city but not listed on this agenda. Comments must be limited to 3 minutes or less unless you're speaking on behalf of a group that is present with you. Then the time would be 5 minutes. If you are speaking for a group, please notify the vice mayor so that he can set the timer appropriately. At the conclusion of call to the public, individual members of the council may respond to criticism made by those who have addressed the council or may ask staff to review a matter or may ask that the matter be put on a future agenda. However, members of the council cannot discuss or take legal action on matters that are not already on the agenda. Please come join us if you wish to address the council.
Hi, I'm Diana, the Loyal Knight of the Bullhead City Elks Lodge, and we just wanted to invite Bullhead City to get ready for some spooky fun. Saturday, October 25th from 11 to 2, come to the Bullhead City Elks Lodge, number 2408, located at 1745 Emerald Road, for a free haunted lodge walkthrough. Dress up and bring the family. Then come back. If you've survived our haunted lodge, come back on Friday, October 31st from 4 to 6. Join us for a trunk or treat in the parking lot next door, candy costumes, and community cheer. It's all free, all festive, and all for the community here, kids and their families. So we'll see you there. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
George Lyman, Desert Shores Community Baptist Church. I want to welcome everyone to come to our pumpkin patch. This is the second year we've hosted a pumpkin patch at the church. There's a great place for pictures, all kinds of neat pumpkins to see. You can buy big ones, small ones, cute little gourds that look like ducks and all kinds of stuff. We're just having a great time. We, too, want to invite you on Saturday from 10 to 4 to a bouncy house, a pumpkin patch opportunity for the kids to come play games. Look at the pumpkin patch, do that as well. And then on the 31st from 3 to 6, we have a trunk or treat in the parking lot as well for our community. Glad to serve and hope you can come by and just have a picture taken and enjoy yourself. Thank you.
George, for those folks that don't know your address.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't say. I was thinking that before it came up. 2625 Landon Drive, across from Dot Foods and Sunrise Elementary.
Thank you. Next.
Good evening. My name is James Scheller. I'm the airport director of Laughlin Bullhead International Airport. First of all, I want to thank the city throughout the years of that I've been here since May of 2023 for the support that it has given me. Toby Cotter and Travis Pruitt have really supported the airport, and I appreciate that through air shows and other questions I have about the city. I also like to thank the council members that have visited me in the past couple of weeks to learn about the airport. And I'd like to take this time to invite all of you to come out and visit me one by one or as a group to visit the airport and learn something about it. Ask all the questions, and we'll take on a tower tour as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Next.
Good evening. My name is Chris Cleansing. I'm a resident of Bullhead City. I live in the Puno de Vista development. I don't know if I'm in the right place or not. I had a water leak in the middle of August and got the water bill a couple weeks later. I was thinking it was going to be maybe a couple hundred dollars, $847. I called the city, called the finance department. They said to go ahead and document, send a letter, notes, or whatever of the incident that occurred. We think it was because of the storm. I had a trash can hit a sprinkler valve and break it off. I was out of town for about 2 weeks. My next door neighbor offered to go next door to make sure I didn't have any damage and found it. He called me. I was able to tell him where the shutoff valve was. Anyway, I filed with the city, sent him a letter, explanation. They replied. They had a couple of questions regarding the incident and what happened. I answered their questions. About a week later, I get an email from the finance department. They credited me $240, I believe, $236. So I called them and I said, hey, am I eligible for a little more help than that? They said to call back a couple days later and talk to someone in finance. So I called, and the gal said, well, that the city council, when Bullhead took over the water department, the city council came up with a formula. It's based on your previous usage. For the past 3 years, my average was $28 a month. So this bill, I about had a heart attack, obviously. And they said, well, you can talk to your city council person. Here I am. No, I don't know. Do I have a council person, or are all of you my council people? I assume
the entire council. Would you do us a favor?
Yes.
Would probably be easier if Travis got your name,
okay,
and contact information, and that way we can,
okay,
we can take
all,
a look
all
at
all I
what's
was
going to
ask
on.
Is apparently this formula, and I asked them what the formula is, and they said that's confidential. They wouldn't tell me. But it apparently was set up 3 or 4 years ago when water rates were a lot less than they are now. I can imagine it's about what they credited was about 30%. So if it had been a $200 water bill, they would have given me back $60. I wouldn't be here tonight. But for $847, I was like, help. So.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
And who did you say you talked to? Thank you.
Next.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. My name is Larry Toonforce. My visit here is not to promote anything, but I've lived here for 45 years, and I've watched our town grow, the parks, our roads, the highway. When I moved here, it was two lanes. the whole city and the development, and I'm just here to say thanks. Thanks to the seven of you sitting here, Toby, the administration. I'm proud to live in Bullhead City, and I'm proud to brag about our city. I know most of you by name. Karen, I've known since forever. Rod, I met 45 years ago. And one of the things I'd like the public to realize is tonight everybody was allowed to pick up a two-page agenda. That's not what you seven get. And I know that you get a packet. I don't know if it's still a book or a packet that's sent to you or emailed or how you get it. I know you have an opportunity to meet with the city manager and ask him questions, the city staff and the chief and so on and so forth. I think some people sit back and they see you make a motion, they just think, well, that was quick, or it was short-lived. They don't realize the research that you did prior to the meeting, when you got the agenda, you got the packet, and I hear people come up here and question the golf course. That wasn't like you guys had breakfast and made that decision and then walked in here and voted yes. I mean, these things are thought about, and they're worked through the manager, his staff, the finance department, you know, and I just don't think that a lot of people realize what's involved to sit up there, and the time commitment is not the hour and a half you're here tonight. You know, it's the research and checking with Toby and checking with city manager, assistant city managers and so on, and I'll mention Eddie. You know, checking with them to question what's on the agenda and whatnot. And I just wish the public would give you guys a break and realize that when you make a decision that you're representing 45,000 people in this town, and you don't take that lightly. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Next.
Scotty from Bullhead. I'd like to know who put the stop sign up on Country Club Drive across from them storage units. What decision was that made here in the county? Why is that sign there? If somebody parks in front of it, you don't see it. You're going to have some wrecks there. There was no public comment. It wasn't at the meeting. Yesterday at the Board of Supervisors meeting, they're going to put up on Mountain View the new road there that they've redone. They're putting up stop signs at every intersection, but they had a public meeting and discussion, and let me get up there and bitch about it. Who put the stop sign up there? Angie won't look at me, I guess, so I'm accusing her of it then. It's her fault. I made an open records request. I want exacto down to the period and comma about the conversation we had at two meetings ago and Tammy Ring's discussion with me. And I haven't gotten a reply yet. Now, since we have Laura Scoble here tonight, which, by the way, is Tarek Scoble pitches for the Detroit Tigers. They did make the playoffs, but that's as far as they got. So, Laura, better luck next year. The third time's a charm, I hope. She gets her minutes done just like the body cameras. I've used your body cameras, the things that cops write out, the reports. I've used that in court against that guy that broke into my house. They work. She gets her minutes done in minutes. She hasn't done that yet. You're going to approve some minutes, and Rodney and my conversation aren't even in the minutes. So I'm suggesting that you go to something that it can be a push and a button. You got something on here tonight. You're spending a bunch of money on whatever. Now, does it do AI? The county no longer requires a permit for changing out water heaters. Why are we still charging $50 for that? Now, Tammy, I'm going to get you again. Here we go. The conversation you had, you sat up there and admitted that you talked to other people here. That's why I'm requesting the minutes, the exact minutes.
How about it?
That's a against the law and open meeting laws if you're just phoning people and discussing it with these guys. That's a violation. So I don't know when I get the minutes. Yeah, whatever. I'm going to the Attorney General on it.
Thank
you.
Your time's over.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, and staff. I'm Julie Hassett with Colorado River Concerts, and I just want you to know it's time to get ready for the best entertainment, live, world-class entertainment that Bullhead City has to offer. And that's Colorado River Concerts, four times a year, amazing shows, 7 p.m. in the Mojave High School Auditorium. So we're going to start November 13th with the group called Mid-Atlantic Men. Two Americans and one Brit are going to battle it out. Who does it better, the Americans or the Great Britain group? So it's going to be a lot of fun. The music will kind of go back and forth between the Beatles and the Eagles and Elton John and Queen and Elvis. And it'll be a good, fun night for everybody. A lot of familiar and fun music. So it's $100 for the entire season. There's four shows. We go on to January 15th with Lauren Yelenkovich, a soprano, along with the pianist, who happened to be Yanni's favorite touring vocalist with him for many years. She's won many scholarships and played alongside superstars like Renee Fleming. She'll be here January 15th. And then in February, the Brothers Doobie are coming to Bullhead City. And you close your eyes and listen to these six guys, you'd think you were listening to the Doobie Brothers. It'll be a lot of fun, too. We end the season on March 17th with the Swan Brothers, who are actually brothers, and they were finalists on NBC's The Voice under Team Blake Shelton, and they will be having a lot of fun, kind of sibling fun rivalry and jokes and things and doing their pop and country show. So we hope to see some of you there. I've really enjoyed meeting a lot of new people that have signed up, that are coming to our concerts, and every year we do a big variety of entertainment, very diverse, and this is our 51st season, so we thank everybody who supports us and those of you who come to listen to the music, because we wouldn't be there without you. So thank you very much. The shows are at Mojave High School Auditorium. To know more about it, you can go to crconcerts.com. Or you can pick up flyers at the Colorado River Museum or the Senior Enrichment Center, or you can ask me for one tonight. But go out to crconcerts.com. Four shows throughout the year, only $100 or $35 if you choose one. We also do student education outreach programs at no charge to the schools or the students. The same performers do a mini concert for the youth of our community, so they can learn about performing arts. Okay, thanks so much. I'll see you there. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seriously? Seriously? All right, we'll close the public hearing. Agenda modifications. Are there any items to be withdrawn from or moved to the appropriate place on the agenda?
Mr. Mayor, let me make motion to waive the reading in full of all ordinances and resolutions presented for adoption at this meeting.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Cast your vote.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Manager's report.
Thank you. Mayor, council members, our first item, our assistant city manager, Edgar Cajera, will talk about our water and sewer rate forums.
Good evening, Mayor, city council, and staff. 4 years ago, the city of Bullhead City took over the water system from EPCO. When we made that transition, one of our main goals was to bring decisions about water system right here at home, right here at City Hall, with rate-making authority under local control. We wanted to make sure that those decisions that impact our residents every day were made locally by your city council and not by a private company somewhere else. At that time, the city promised that we will not see a rate increase for at least 2 years. I'm proud to say that with the leadership of the city council and the leadership of our city manager, I'm proud and that we were able to fulfill that promise and go beyond it. During those 4 years, the city also continued operating its sewer utility, where the last rate increase occurred back in 2018. That five-year gradual rate plan ended in 2023, meaning that we have now gone several years with no changes to sewer rates either. In fact, before 2018, residential sewer rates hadn't changed in over 15 years. Earlier this year, city staff undertook a comprehensive utility rate study to evaluate the financial health of our water and sewer enterprise funds. These funds operate independently from the city's general fund and are designed to be financially self-sustaining, meaning that every penny that comes in is what has to be spent on. They rely solely on revenues collected from users of the system. However, as inflation has had it, aging infrastructure, supply and challenging market conditions, and reinvestments become more necessary, maintaining that self-sufficiency has become increasingly difficult. In recent years, the city has provided temporary support to this utility funds in the form of loans from the general fund, but the model is no longer sustainable. After completing the rate study and presenting our findings to the City Council through multiple sessions on June 26th, July 1st, September 2nd, the City Council adopted the new water and sewer rates on September 16th of this year. These new rates will take effect on January 1, 2026. For the average residential customer, this means a modest increase of about $6. And on the sewer side, we're probably going to be looking at about $3, depending on your account. Now that the City Council has approved these new rates, we want to make sure that our residents are fully informed about these changes and what these changes mean and how they may be impacted. To do that, we're inviting the community to a series of town hall utility rate workshops and discussions. These workshops will be held here at the City Council chambers at 5:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. on the following dates: Wednesday, October 29th, Wednesday, November 19th, and Wednesday, December 10th. At these town halls, residents will have the opportunity to meet directly with city staff, ask questions, and learn exactly how the new rates will affect those rates will affect the utility bills and also their families' utility expenses. Our team will walk through those bills, show you examples, explain the calculations, and answer any questions that the public may have. We also want residents to know about our utility assistance and discount program, which is designated to help income-eligible households, and information about this and other financial assistance programs will also be provided at each workshop. Our goal is to make sure that every resident has access to these resources that they need as these new rates take effect. To keep customers informed, we will also be sending rate increase notification letters in the mail. And if anyone logs into their account right now, there is a notification ribbon at the top of your account when you're trying to pay your bill that notifies you when council adopted these fees and when they'll be going into effect. In the coming weeks, we'll be adding more information into the city's new website, which can be accessed at www.bullheadcityaz.gov. And to find more information directly in relation to this increase, kindly go to www.bullheadcityaz.gov/living-in-bullhead-city/utilities/water-and-sewer-rates. This rate adjustments represent the first step in the long-term financial strategy to build stability within our water and sewer enterprise funds. It reflects our commitment to maintaining a high-quality, dependable service while practicing reasonable fiscal stewardship. So again, I want to encourage all residents, please come out to one of the upcoming town hall workshops, ask questions, get informed, let us answer your questions, take you through what that bill will look like, and if there's any issues that you have, we can walk through those as we prepare you for what those bills will look like come next year. Thank you.
Thank you, Eddie. Next on my report, the city clerk would like to announce officially the upcoming city council election. Debbie?
Good evening, Mayor, City Council members. The city clerk's office will have candidate packets available for the 2026 election starting tomorrow, October 22nd, to fill the following council offices: one mayor position with a four-year term, two city council member positions with four-year terms, one city council member position with a two-year term. All four-year terms will begin on November 2026 and end on November 2030. The two-year term will begin on November 2026 and end in November 2028. If you would like to pick up a candidate packet, please give me a call at the Bullhead City Clerk's office. I can be reached at 928-763-9400, extension 8448. Schedule an appointment. I will sit down with you and go over the packet, and I look forward to hearing from you.
Thank you, Debbie. And then last item on my list is just a quick community reminder that as the heat is dissipating and summer is fading away, that means that we turn to another busy season for us, and that's sports and special events. On any typical weekend in Bullhead City, you can find a special event such as Corn Fest, Balloon Fest, concerts, etc., along with at least one or more sporting events in our parks. We'll detail those out throughout the season all the way through May. But for our businesses and those involved with those events and activities, they're here. It starts with Corn Fest, and it'll go all the way through April and May as we track all of the special events. We do have those big weekend surges of sports, and we just want to remind our businesses that that time is here. And so from soccer to football and baseball and softball, our community is going to be very active. That concludes my report.
Thank you, Mr. Manager. Mayor and council members' reports on current events. I'll start on this end, Pam. No?
Good. I didn't do it.
I hope that wasn't me. My apologies. Mayor, everybody, I just want to mention, as Toby said, it's Corn Fest time. So the Kiwanis Club of the Colorado River will be hosting their annual Corn Fest. This will be the 25th year. We've brought back the infamous AmeriCorn Idol. So there will be on Friday night, the finalists that have been performing through the past couple months for a grand prize of, I believe, $500. The Friday night starts at 5 p.m. to 10 p.m. And then on Saturday, we go from 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. We will have a teen zone, a children's zone, bouncy houses, the bungee jump. There will be, for adults, axe throwing. There's also a car smash. In other words, you get to take a sledgehammer and maybe get some of your aggressions out on a beat-up car. There's going to be a zombie shooting gallery. And the big red and white tent you've seen going up over the past few weeks, that is our haunt. Those rooms have been decorated by local students, Kiwanians, and some of our community members, and it should be super fun. We hope to see you out there. All proceeds go back to the youth in our community, and thank you for your support.
Member, Vice Mayor, Councilman. Okay, no further comments. Would take a motion on the consent agenda.
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept all items on the consent agenda as stated.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Cast your vote.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 4.
Item number 4, this is a public hearing, discussion and possible action to adopt ordinance number 2025-11, approving a zoning map change from C2 general commercial to PAD, planned area development, with underlying R1L residential single family limited uses, and approval of the preliminary plat for a project known as the Dunes at Bullhead City, generally located on the south side of the Bullhead Parkway and west of the Mojave Crossroads subdivision, and described as a portion of Section 11, Township 19 North, Range 22 West, Bullhead City, Arizona.
Mayor, Head Council Members, our Development Services Director and I are happy to answer any questions you may have about this parcel. Johnny will give the staff presentation, however.
Thank you.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. As was mentioned, this parcel is 33 acres just west of Mojave Crossroads, the Target Center. In March of this year, Council did approve the general plan amendment to take this from regional commercial to medium high density residential. So this plat and the zoning change is the next step, followed by potentially the final plat after this. So the applicant did submit their plans and the PAD document for this request. This would consist of 77 single family residential lots, or detached homes, I'm sorry, 150 attached single family homes. So they look like duplexes, but they would still be on individual lots individually for sale. The development would include some amenities. I think the plans show a dog park, swimming pool, boat RV parking for the community, as well as open space and potentially a clubhouse. So access is kind of the interesting point of this project. This would be from the existing driveway that runs behind the Ross and the Boot Barn. So that right now is a private driveway. As part of this project, during the final plat process, that driveway would be widened out. It would be built out to city standard, dedicated to the city, and become a city right-of-way. And then they would have two entrances from that driveway into this development. All the interior drives would all be privately owned. All the interior parcels would be privately owned by the HOA. There was a concern, I think, in March about access, potential access from the south from Terra Loma Drive. This plan shows no access from Terra Loma. There will be a fire department compliant turnaround at that point. It will not cross into this development. The developer did request some development standards that vary a little bit from our standards, mostly with building setbacks, lot sizes, height requirements, things of that nature, and we have no objections. The Planning and Zoning Commission did recommend approval. Stand for any questions, and the project engineer is also here if you have any questions for him.
Questions?
Yeah, I have a question. Where that's going to be behind Ross on that, are they going to widen the road back there, or is that existing parking lot road where it's going to come in and out on?
Yeah, that driveway will be widened to city standard and then dedicated to the city.
Go all the way out to the parkway.
Right, right. It won't go all the way down to Coles. It won't be necessary to go that far, but it'll go out past the, or up to the second entrance into the development.
Thank you.
Vice Mayor.
Hey, Johnny, quick question. That land seems like it's really landlocked. The fire department didn't give an approval yet on that. Is that correct?
Well, they checked the plans that we sent them, and they had no objection up to this point. So if this gets approved and they go to final plat, those detailed plans will be sent to the fire department, to the fire marshal, and she'll have her opportunity to review the plans and have any comments at that point.
Okay, yeah, my main concern was it doesn't, because of the way the situation where it's located, you get a big fire truck in through there, and, you know, they only have so many minutes that it would seem rather complicated for them to do that. That's why I asked if it was approved by the fire department yet. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And Vice Mayor, on that, the city street that will be located basically behind Ross connecting with the parkway will be full city street. We've been working with the developer who owns Target Center. There's no problem getting the additional right-of-way, building a full city street in that location. So we'll ensure that there are no issues with emergency vehicles. I think you and I had also talked about the neighborhood to the south, the connectivity with Tierra Loma and Ash area. It's our opinion that there would be nobody in this new development that would want to take that, but the neighborhood didn't want any connectivity through there, so we can push the traffic out onto the new, yet sort of unnamed city street that we'll be taking on from basically the owners of the Target Center, built and paid for by this developer.
Thank you very much, Mr. Carter.
Councilwoman?
You just answered my question.
Okay. All right. Seeing no more comments from council, anyone from the public? Seeing no one rise, council, what's your pleasure?
Motion to approve item number 4.
Second motion.
I have a motion and a second. Cast your vote.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 5.
Item number 5, discussion and possible action to adopt ordinance number 2025-12 by reference, approving an amendment to accessory structures, chapter 17.06, general district requirements, title 17 of the Bullhead City Municipal Code, and adopting resolution number 2025-R-47, declaring the code amendment a public record.
Mayor Head, council members, our planning manager, Johnny Lohr, will present this item, but before he does, just want to give a little context. The development service director and I, along with Johnny, were contacted by developer Mehdi Arzimi, who brought up this issue and how the development that he's seeing with people who are wanting some bigger garages, mostly on bigger lots in areas potentially like Punta de Vista and other areas where they could do this, he's not allowed to do that. And he has a couple potential clients already who are looking at this as a potential. Again, it's a little bit unique in the fact that some people are wanting a smaller house and bigger garage. And so Johnny can explain the technical details of that. But just for context, this was a developer-driven request.
Thank you. Johnny?
Yes, Mayor, Council. So to add on to Mr. Cotter's comments there, the code right now allows accessory structures, that would be garages, detached carports, they can be up to 50% larger than the living space. So if you have 1,000 square feet of living space, you can have 1,500 square foot of accessory. The only current architectural standards that are in place for those structures are they have to be painted the same color or similar color to the house to kind of blend in. And if it's a metal structure, it can't be just plain metal panels. They have to have a baked on finish or some kind of pattern. So what this amendment would do is increase that from 50 to 150. But along with that increase, there'd be some detailed architectural standards put in place that would prohibit metal siding, require that all the building elevations visible from the street, from the neighbors' houses, have at least three architectural elements to them, pop-outs, variations in roof lines, canopies, and then the actual construction material could still be metal or it could be wood or it could be block, but the actual facade of the building would have to have a conventional material, so that's stucco, brick, block, stone, something of that nature. So under this proposed code, if you have 1,000 square feet of living space, you could have 2,500 square feet of this garage space. They would still be subject to all the other regulations, so that would be lot coverage, building setbacks, maximum heights. This would not supersede any HOA regulations, so if someone's in an HOA, they still have to deal with those regulations with those architectural committees. The P&Z Commission did recommend approval, and I stand for any questions.
All right, thank you.
Mr. Mayor? Johnny, the architectural standards that are going to be imposed if this passes, will they apply to all accessory buildings or just those that are 2.5 times?
Just the larger one, just the 2.5 times.
Just the larger ones.
Correct.
Okay. Councilmember Dahlman? Councilmember Ring? Vice Mayor?
I'm glad you clarified the fact that this would not supersede any and all homeowner association regulations that are in existence at this point in time. Because if it did, you'd have a little bit of a problem with individuals saying that it's not in compliance with the common scheme of the neighborhoods and be reducing property values. Thank you.
Council members? No? All right. Thank you, Johnny. Anyone from the audience? Seeing no one rise, council, what's your pleasure?
Motion to approve item number 5 is read.
Second.
A motion and a second. Cast your vote.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 6.
Item number 6, discussion and possible action to approve the ClearGov service order dated September 15, 2025. For a 3-year budgeting software subscription in the amount of $180,354.02 plus applicable taxes and authorizing the city manager to execute the agreement and issue resulting payments.
Mayor, head council members, our finance director, Robert Drexler, will present this item.
Thank you, City Manager Cotter. Council, so this is a contract for our budget software. As we sit through those budget meetings coming up in May, all of that gets basically put through this software. The departments all enter their stuff, their capital requests. We enter all personnel through it. We went to this software 5 years ago, and we've had nothing but great success with it. We're very happy with it. We'd like to continue on with it. I would like to say there is AI components in this software. This is a new version that they have. The AI isn't just doing everything for us, but there are tools in it that use AI to help the departments and myself and our budget manager. I stand for any questions.
council members.
Robert, if you could answer, it's already factored in that there's a 3% increase every single year. How did they come up with that number? Who, why?
So we started with them 5 years ago. Uh-huh. We had a very good price, much cheaper than was now, as we were early on in it, as one of the first cities that they've used. We've worked with them very well over the years. We've actually helped them develop the system in the subline items. That was something nobody did before the city of Bullhead. The 3% is just something they kind of put in to cover inflation costs and those types of things.
Okay, that's just basically what I know. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Anyone from the audience? Seeing no one rise, council, what's your pleasure?
Mr. Mayor, I'd like to make a motion to accept line item 6 as stated.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Cast your vote.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 7.
Item number 7, discussion and possible action to approve renaming the Chaparral Golf and Country Club to Chaparral Golf Course and Restaurant and retaining the official logo as modified in name.
Mayor, head council members, as was read by the clerk, this item would ask the council to rename the Chaparral Golf Course and Country Club to the Chaparral Golf Course and Restaurant. This request also seeks approval to retain the Chaparral logo and its continued utilization with the new name. We just believe that the language and removing country club sends the signal that this is open to all, and we stand for any questions that you may have.
Thank you. Questions? Questions? Seeing no questions, anyone from the audience? Seeing no one rise, council, what's your pleasure?
Motion to approve item 7 as read.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Cast your vote.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 8.
Item number 8, discussion and possible action to adopt resolution number 2025-48, authorizing submission and receipt of a Federal Transit Administration Section 5339 bus and bus facilities grant application and to fund a portion of the capital expenses for the Bullhead City Area Transit System for the period starting October 1st, 2025.
Mayor, head council members, we do have two items that Jeff will be presenting. The first is on capital and the second will be on the transit facility. So we'll turn it over for Jeff for the first item.
Thank you, Mr. Cotter. Mayor, council, this is a request for council to approve the submission of a FTA, Federal Transit Administration, Section 5339 grant application. This grant will be used for a purchase of a replacement transit bus. The total request of the grant is $217,309, with 80% of that being covered by federal funds, and a max of 20% would be our local match at $43,461. We did budget for this, and it was approved in the budget process. Your approval of this request is appreciated, and Transit Manager Michael Peluso is in the audience, and I will be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Any questions, gentlemen? Ladies? Seeing no questions, anyone from the audience? Seeing no one rise. Oh. Yeah, you know what? You fool me once.
I just, the Bullhead City MPO, I'm their executive director, and I drafted up a letter of support for this grant.
Can you state your name, please?
Steve D'Amico, Bullhead City. Thank you. Where was I? Thank you, Dan. Anyway, I wanted to present this letter to Michael so he could put it in with the packet, letter of support. I could read that for you briefly, and then I'd like to hand that over to them, and best wishes on getting this. So greeting, please accept this letter of support for Bullhead Area Transit's application for bus and bus facilities funds and the Section 5339 bus and bus facilities application for funds to replace one AirBock bus on Bullhead Area Transit System program. Bullhead City Metropolitan Planning Organization is fully supportive of these vehicle purchases and the opportunity to maintain a well-maintained fleet as well as the opportunity to provide the local community with resources to ease and enhance the use of Bullhead City Area Transit Service. I recommend the funding be approved for the needs of the Bullhead Area Transit. Sincerely, Steve D'Amico, Bullhead Metropolitan Planning Organization Executive Director. And I hope that the council will approve this as well. I'll turn this over to Mike, and thank you for your time.
Thank you. Anyone else? Seeing no one rise to address the council, council, what's your pleasure?
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve item 9 as read.
Second.
Are we sure that wasn't item 8?
Eight.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Would you amend your motion to item 8?
I move to amend my motion to item 8 as read.
Approve. Second.
8 as read.
I have a motion and a second. Cast your vote.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 9.
Item number 9, discussion and possible action to approve the Bullhead City Multimodal Transit Facility plans for future development of a dedicated transit facility and authorize staff to identify funding sources consistent with the implementation of the approved plans for the facility.
Mayor, Head, Council Members, this is the second item. This is for the new transit facility that would be located next to the Motor Vehicle Department. The Council's held numerous workshops on this, including one this afternoon at 3:30. Our staff, our Human Services Director, Jeff Tipton, will present the plan. I just want to remind Council, this is the not the end. This is for the approval of the engineering and architectural plans. There would still be a number of steps, including in the budget, funding of the budget, and then approving of a construction plan down the road. So this will come back to Council a number of times. Jeff?
Thank you, Mr. Cotter. Mayor, Council, this is a request to approve the completed engineering and architectural plans for the new transit hub located at 1315 Alanis Way. We did hold a workshop today and went through a lot of the details. The Transit Commission approved the final design back in May of 25. Once approved, staff will begin looking for grant funding opportunities for construction of the new purpose-built multimodal transit facility, which will greatly enhance the ability to provide high-level transit service. Your approval of this request is appreciated, and I'd like to ask Michael to step up, give a quick overview, and then cover a few things that was shown this afternoon on a PowerPoint.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Thank you again. So as Jeff and Toby mentioned, and we talked a little bit about earlier today during the workshop, we went through the slide presentation that was provided by Selberg and Associates. What Council was able to see and the public was able to see is that we went through first the site plan that's available that we had decided to go with that both distinguishes our sawtooth pattern for the buses coming out and then also the two different parts of the facility, the first one being the actual hub location or the administrative portion that will also have seating area and ticketing area for passengers that utilize the service, and then also the maintenance facility that we were able to look at. We also went through the actual plans for each of those individual buildings and could see that it's really going to be a big benefit for us here to be able to provide safe and efficient transit service moving into the future. I'm available to answer any questions that you guys might have, and thank you very much for your support.
Thank you, Michael. Any questions? Questions for the audience, so you know, we sat through a presentation earlier today, but we will open this up to public comment. Seeing no one rise, Council.
Mr. Mayor, I move to approve item 9 as read.
Second motion.
I have a motion and a second. Cast your vote.
7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Item number 10.
Item number 10, discussion and possible action to approve acceptance of a deuce and a half, 2.5 ton static military display and authorize use of the remaining unspent funds from the prior allocation for the two military Jeeps to cover acquisition, transport, installation, and related display costs.
Mayor Head and Council Members, at the last meeting, the Council approved a committee to look at requests of donated static military equipment. Lo and behold, that committee met recently when someone approached us with this deuce and a half that would be placed on the Veterans Peninsula. We were approached because the gentleman in Lake Havasu who's refurbishing the Jeeps had an inn on a deuce and a half that would also be placed down at the Veterans Peninsula. From the original $15,000 the city allocated, only $1,480 was spent, so the remainder of that funding is available. We believe that through the acquisition and the refurbishment, it's only going to be about $7,500, with community organizations already stepping up and donating potentially some or all of those dollars that are needed. It would be placed on the peninsula with the howitzer and the two jeeps, and the committee would still entertain more requests for more equipment on the peninsula. The mayor, vice mayor, and the public works director and I sat in the committee, heard the presentation, all agreed that it would be a very nice addition to the park. We're happy to answer any questions.
Thank you. Council? Council members?
The deuce and a half is in pieces right now, so they're going to put it back together.
Yes, exactly. So it's a gentleman has it, not in Lake Havasu. It'll be transported to Lake Havasu, and the same individual who restores these vehicles will be restoring that. It will never drive, right? It's only a static display.
Thank you.
Anyone from the audience?
Can't believe the mayor forgot to state his name, so Scotty from Bowlhead. All the times that he made me repeat my name. You guys paid money for this? I don't know the audience, you know, we had one of these cameras like they have at the Board of Supervisors meeting. We could project that over this. This is what happens when you let Scotty drive these things in the Army. Look what I did to him. I don't know how he's going to piece these together. He must have some super glue, monkey glue or something. You're going to have real tires on these? That's going to be the biggest thing because it's not going to run, right?
Not going to run.
So you don't need to fix the engine. So the biggest expense I see is, other than getting some rust remover, this is something else. I mean, I'm sure when he gets done with them, I mean, these guys do beautiful work down there in Havasu. It's going to look nice, but I'm glad to see that we're not going to fix the engine, and that's going to be a lot of money for tires. But I wish we had a projector right here that the audience could see. This is in this white book back here, by the way, where the information that you guys have all this, these pictures, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So anyway, they're going to look different than these.
Anyone else?
Hi, Steve from Bullhead City. I think it's amazing, the before pictures. If you would have told me that you could do that for $10,000, I would have said you're full of something. That guy's just got to be amazing to be able to restore that for $7,500. When he's done, I have a Cadillac that I could use some work on if he's that low, but I think it's a great feature to put out there. And those of you, I'm a veteran, Gene's a veteran, Dan's a veteran, Scotty's a veteran. Those of us know the history of the deuce and a half. It's not just one generation. It's probably about five generations. So it'll affect the young, the old, and everybody in between when they go out there and see that. I'm sure we all had some deuce and a half stories. I have some. I could tell Gene on the side. Can't tell him in public some of the good ones. But I think it's going to be a great piece to go along with those Jeeps, and I highly recommend that you approve it. And hopefully we could work with this guy in the future for some other projects, because it seems amazing what he could do for those prices. So thank you.
Thank you. Before I ask council for a motion, I'd like to make a comment. First off, if you've looked at these pictures, we didn't buy this in this. This gentleman's going to refurbish this thing before any money is spent on it by the city of Bullhead City, if we even have to spend any, because there may be enough donations to pay for it and its placement. I would also like to say that I had the good fortune to go to the World War II Museum in New Orleans, and while we will never meet that standard, I would love for us to always honor our veterans, and to put the equipment out there that reminds them every day of their sacrifices, what they've meant to not just this country, but to the world. So for that reason, I will tell you I'll be voting for it. Council, what's your pleasure?
Motion to approve item 10 as read.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Cast your votes.
Councilmember O'Neill, your vote, please. 7 in favor of the motion. Motion carries.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our meeting. Thank you and have a good evening.
And against the law. Just like on the road, there's a pattern to the traffic.